RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
When these games happen in front of you.
Oh!
Oh, you're studying that?
I think when I'm looking at the...
Kroski Merritt!
That's great sight to see. Kroski Merritt,
let's go! Cue for the long touchdown!
Oh, they just needed Clint Portis to join us.
That's it.
That's all it was.
They got the Portis mojo for 72 yards.
Yeah, they introduced Clinton Portis as former Washington Commander Clinton Portis. Man, you guys got to get that right at the Netflix level. Good morning, everybody. That was a hell of a run. A house call for Bill. First time this year where he's literally taken it to the house from distance. That was a hell of a run. It made the score 24-17 in the third quarter. Washington never got closer than 7. They lost the game to the Cowboys 30-23, 4-12 now on this season that seemingly won't end. I hope everybody had a great Christmas. Max is in with me. Ben will join us at 12. We'll talk about the other NFL games from yesterday. We'll preview the NFL games this weekend. There's a doubleheader tomorrow. I've got smell test picks, 1-1 so far. We left you with a bowl game over. UNLV Ohio over 65. When a pick misses, it's better that it misses big than misses small. It was 6-0 at halftime. If you've got the over 65 in a 6-0 halftime game, you don't have to watch the rest of it. It ended 17-10. That lost, but I did give out via Twitter yesterday, I gave out the under in the Detroit-Minnesota game. So 1-1, I'll have other smell test picks for tomorrow and Sunday. You know, there's a lot of, you know, either or situations because of the Saturday games that mean so much to the Sunday games. As an example, you know, if Houston wins tomorrow, Indy's eliminated, so they won't probably play Phillip Rivers against the Jags. If the Packers win tomorrow against Baltimore, Pittsburgh's in. We'll see how Pittsburgh then handles its final two games. So there's a lot of that going on, always is, when you get to week 17. So there may be a couple of either ors, or just a wait and follow me on social media and I'll tweet the picks out on Sunday morning. But I've got a couple that will stick regardless of what the results are. But yeah, Look, yesterday was meaningless football in the standings anyway for both teams. But they still played football. They played to win the game. I thought there was outstanding desire and effort by both teams. So there are some things to take out of it, especially when it comes to a few of the individual performances. The overall team takeaway, before I get to my game take in the next segment, the overall team takeaway from yesterday's game would be a continuation of the overall obvious when it comes to this season after sort of the injury bug. And that is, good God, is this team god-awful defensively. And I'm saying this on the morning after a game in which there were actually a handful of decent performances, a handful of really good plays and even sequences, but none of it happened when it mattered the most, you know, on third down and on fourth down. And I'll continue to say this and mean it. I think it's one of, if not the worst in franchise history, this defense. You won't hear me question the effort. I'm not going to ignore the losses of major contributors to the defense this year. That's been a big part of, obviously, the overall team results, but the defense as well. That's a part of the story. But this defense needs a total, total makeover from scheme and strategy to talent and execution. It is god-awful. The defense, by the way, may not statistically end up being the worst in franchise history. I think that there may be a couple. The 2016 defense in particular was particularly rancid. That team was one of the worst third down teams, not only in NFL, in franchise history, but in NFL history. I think they allowed more third and sevens or longer, that 2016 defense, than any team in the Super Bowl era. So this defense may not have some of those super low rankings, like dead last in everything, that will compare statistically to others. But look, we've watched it. You know, they're currently, by the way, 31st in yards allowed, the traditional number. They're 29th currently in DVOA defensively. But we've watched this with our own eyes. It's been so obviously terrible that no matter how much, you know, health impacted, you know, the team, the offense this year in particular too, you know, if the offense had stayed healthy all year, after watching what I've watched now for 17 games or 16 games, excuse me, through 17 weeks, I don't think there was a real world situation where the offense could have overcome how bad their defense was. Dorrance Armstrong, Dietrich Wise, Trey Amos, and all the other losses of personnel during the season mattered for sure, but I just can't imagine that the defense would have been anything but horrendous even with those players. I mean, you can go back to the Atlanta game in week four when the defense had most of their key players. No Dietrich Wise, he had been lost, but everybody else was in that game, and they got torched by the Falcons. I looked at this after the game yesterday briefly because I wanted to just see how bad it was even before we knew how bad it was. Do you know that Geno Smith essentially had one of his best days against our defense in week three, when, again, no Dietrich Wise in that game, but they had everybody else. Dorrance Armstrong was playing at a high level. Yes, yesterday's game was another one of those days where it didn't matter about energy or enthusiasm or any of the, you know, tell the truth Monday reveals about effort, because they gave effort. They just can't do it. They can't do it. They can't coach it. They can't execute it. They don't have the players to do it. The game yesterday was statistically one of the worst of the season, although I wouldn't put it up there with the worst. Like the Lions game, that's one of the worst you'll ever see. For any side of the football, offense, defense, or even special teams, it will be hard for you to ever see something as terrible as what the defense was in the Detroit game. Suter described it as a scout team look that they were giving the starting Lions offense. Yesterday, Dallas had 92 offensive snaps. 92. This was a four-quarter game. This was not a deep into overtime game. This game went four quarters of regulation with no overtime, and Dallas had 92 offensive snaps in the game. Do you know how hard that is? 92 offensive snaps, especially when you consider that Washington didn't turn the ball over once. It's not like they kept turning it over and Dallas was getting the ball back immediately. 92 offensive snaps in an NFL four-quarter, no overtime game. Poor Bobby Wagner, you know, at 60 years old, he was out there. He played on all 92 defensive snaps. I love Bobby Wagner. Thought he played pretty well, too. By comparison, Washington snapped the ball on offense 44 times. Dallas had 48 more offensive snaps than Washington had in the game. That's unheard of. I don't know if it's ever happened. How the hell did this game end up being 30-23? Well, I'm going to say something that's going to probably upset some of you. One of the reasons is Cliff Kingsbury. Good game plan. Good play calling. Had a third string quarterback that hadn't started a game since 2021 ready to play. They averaged 8 yards a play on offense and scored on four of their eight real drives in the game. Can you imagine having 48 more offensive snaps than your opponent? Dallas in the game had 20 third down attempts. I don't think I've seen that in recent memory. They had 6 fourth down attempts. So that means Washington at least stopped them on 6 third downs. Guess what they did on fourth down, Dallas, on their 6 fourth down attempts? They converted all 6 of them, 6 for 6. Dallas only had 9 offensive drives in the game. They scored on 6 of them, 6 of the 9. So two-thirds of the drives they scored points on. They missed a field goal on another. They ran out the clock on their last one, and they dropped a third down pass on the one drive out of the 9 that they punted on. Again, there were some nice plays, even some brief sequences from guys like Johnny Newton and Preston Smith and Jeremy Reeves and Bobby Wagner. You know, Reeves on that deep shot to CeeDee Lamb that really should have been a touchdown. Reeves made a really nice play. They put pressure on Dak, you know, at times. But when it mattered the most on third and fourth down, Washington's defense couldn't get the Cowboys off the field. And that was the story of the game. You know, Jordan McGee had a chance for a pick 6, but he didn't catch it in a 27-20 game. You know, there were a few sketchy calls, like the 15-yarder on Luvu, where it wasn't obvious that Dak had been touched by Von Miller, and that's what was making him stumble to the ground. You know, that I think that's one of those calls you got to be careful making, man. You got to get replay assist to say, look, I mean, he couldn't tell that Von Miller had scraped his shoe and that caused him to stumble and fall. But third and fourth down, you know, all day, just too easy. You know, easy pitch and catches, easy. How about the draw play that they kept running over and over again for, you know, an average of like 8 or 9 yards? Dallas rushed in the game. The Cowboys rushed for over 200. Dak threw for over 300. They played keep away for 60 minutes. The time of possession number was 38:44, 38 minutes and 44 seconds to 21 minutes and 16 seconds. This was like, to me, and just another reminder of what number one is in the offseason. Their defense needs a complete and utter overhaul, because if we're sitting here a year from now talking about how bad Dan Quinn's defense is again, injuries aren't going to save him a year from now. if it's this bad again. We've had two seasons of a sample size of repulsive defensive football. Repulsive. And it's not an indictment on effort. It's not. It's not an indictment on energy level or want to. We've seen that. With the exception of the Detroit game, every other game has been, you know, you can't knock them for not trying. I know that that should be a given in professional sports, but it isn't necessarily all the time. It's just bad. The players stink. The scheme, the strategy, everything stinks defensively. It's that bad.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Last year was bad. This year's worse. Next year has to be better. My game take next.
Welcome back to a Football Friday presented by Chiniga Mios. It's 2025 Top Workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Time to head to the Rude Guest Hotline. Say good morning to John Keim, ESPN's Commanders reporter. John, Merry Christmas. How are you?
JK.
Merry Christmas, guys. How are you guys?
JK, are you doing your Christmas celebration with your family today?
No, we kind of have we had a bit of a makeshift when we had to do it. Christmas Eve night, I had one son who could only be in town until about 5:30 last night, and he couldn't get in till Christmas Eve. So it was a pretty quick abbreviated one. So we kind of mixed it up a little bit Christmas Eve and a little bit Christmas morning. So
right.
There you go.
Very good.
Now,
all good.
Will you go over to the park today for any interviews?
No, there's nothing today.
Okay,
nothing.
Good.
I'm at home working in the office. So
all right, good.
I've been watching film this morning already.
Oh, man.
Always on the grind.
Lucky you.
So yesterday, Josh Johnson gets the start. He gets the nod.
Right.
And he was decent. He wasn't bad. I mean, he didn't throw any touchdowns, but he took care of the ball. He was only sacked once. Threw for almost 200 yards in the game. Like, we were talking about this earlier. He's not the reason this team lost this game.
No.
Talk about Johnson and the fact that he was tabbed to get the start over Jeff Driscoll, who was brought in late last week.
Well, I mean, they chose Johnson over Driscoll long ago because, remember, like, they – J- Driscoll was here last year mm-hmm. and then was still unsigned going into camp. So, or around that time. So, like, they, and these guys had signed Josh already. So, like, they had already, they had made that choice, so to speak, a while ago. And I know, like, Driscoll, my understanding at the time was looking for a place where he could compete for the number two job, and then that didn't materialize. But he'd been in the offense all year, so it made sense that he would start. I don't, you know, like, you, it'd just be hard to bring in a guy with 1 day, 1.5 practices, mm-hmm. and then give him the start. So I think that was always kind of what made the most sense, and he's, again, been in the system. So his experience is always what people kind of latch onto. Mm-hmm. He has not been a great quarterback, but to last as long as he has and to play for as many teams as he has, mm-hmm. it's kind of remarkable.
It's admirable. It's, like he's the ultimate NFL survivor. It's kind of the way I look at him.
Sure. Yeah, for sure.
It's a good
because,
story.
You know, it's like in case of emergency, break glass.
Right.
And not, whether it's as a backup, whether it's whatever, he can go do it, and that takes a lot. Like, I know he's not this great quarterback, but that takes a lot to survive that way. Mm-hmm. He's only started 10 times. Like,
right.
As he said, he's, you know, certain guys, like Taylor Heinicke, was a starter for a little while, and now he's out of the league, you know. So, and the only point is, like, it's hard to stay in this league in his role for that long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was interesting. And just, you know, it's just surprising that Dallas only won the game by a touchdown. They ran 87 plays to 41 for Washington.
I was thinking that, too, that you would have thought that this was a major blowout. And, you know, they gave up 23 points, and or they scored 23 points and not a whole lot of plays. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was staggering, the difference in the amount of plays. I mean, it was like, I think it was 19 more than anybody has run against them this season.
Right.
And, you know, and I mean, there's, I'm watching guys at defensive tackle who are like, who is this guy? Because he just got here, you know, Shy Tuttle, other guys like that. Like, it was not ideal for them, but Dallas's defense isn't very good.
No.
And I think that kind of contributes to it. But yeah, I mean, the difficult part of it for Washington is, like, I mean, you had two shots inside the five on two different drives that touchdowns were there, you know. And I mean, he even Johnson even admitted on the one, like, Terry McLaurin runs a route, like, he's got to sell the like, he's going to kind of fake block on the backside, or just kind of like stagger off the backside like it's a run, right, to match the play action, and the safety bites on it, but then Josh doesn't stay with it long enough. And that's one where it's like, is that an experience thing where it's like, okay, you know, you've got to trust that McLaurin's going to win on that route, because he does.
And it was a touchdown. It was a touchdown if he throws it.
It's a touchdown if he throws it.
Yeah.
But that's like, you know, you haven't played much with him. And
right,
you learn
right.
that, like, yeah, you got to stick with him. You know, like that. But that's the hard part.
Correct.
Hey, John, we had a call late last week from a trucker that was listening to the show in Georgia that had an encounter with basically like a church van packed with Commanders fans at a truck stop. It was Bill Krosky Merritt's, like, grandma and a bunch of family members road tripping up to see the game, and what a performance he puts on for them. 11 carries, 105 yards, he scores two touchdowns.
72-yarder.
That's 72-yarder. Yeah. I mean, a really good performance by him. And look, I know he's not a superstar, but for a guy who was drafted in the seventh round that was basically an afterthought for a lot of NFL teams, he's putting together a pretty solid rookie campaign.
I mean, he's going to have over 800 yards in his rookie year.
It's funny because even in training camp, like, you saw little signs. We talked about this at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And not that, you know, he hasn't become a superstar. He's a seventh-round pick who's got around 800 yards.
Yeah.
Like, that's really good.
Right.
And so he shows a lot. And I think both of his touchdowns show something, because the first one, he breaks a tackle and he finds his way to the end zone. Like, he's got a little bit of a nose for that. And, you know, I always liked that he would, like, he runs violently, but he gets extra yards because he's leaning forward on contact. And I think that's something he's gotten even more consistent on. You saw that against the Giants a couple weeks ago, where he's knocking guys, you know, a linebacker tries to stone him, and he's still pushing forward for five more yards. And then on the touchdown, like you saw, he ran as fast, and it was on Next Gen Stats, 21.62 miles per hour. That's the fastest any Washington ball carrier, whether it's punt return, anything like that, has run this season. So you see that side of him too. Now, there was really good blocking in that play, but he takes it from there. And so you saw that too. I think the key for him will be, one, you know, improve ball security, and then two, you know, just continue to get better in pass protection. I mean, he's, you know, that's something that Cliff Kingsbury will talk a lot about. And I know that Kroski Merritt feels a lot more comfortable in that area, but that's also like the one where, what are the two steps to get, keep going? Well, those would be two of them. So, yeah, he's been a remarkable story. And I know it's not like every game he's not having these great numbers, but he has done a really good job, you know, for sure. And I mean, to keep in mind, like, he only played one game at a high D1 level, mm-hmm. and then he missed, you know what I mean? Like, it's really, really a good story.
Yeah, and it was cool to watch. On the flip side, you know, we talked about time of possession, and Dallas had 38-21 over Washington time of possession. If you look at overall defensive statistics, Washington's next to last in yards allowed. The only team worse is the Bengals. Against the pass, the Bengals, Steelers, Colts, and Cowboys are the only teams worse. And I was going to ask you about the secondary and your thoughts on the secondary, especially after that Turpin touchdown where Sanders still and Quan Martin get beat.
I think the play design was really good. They have CeeDee Lamb going down the left side, so
right.
You got a split safety, so you're occupying Samuel. So
okay.
You've got to get deep. That it looked like an inverted Tampa 2 coverage, so
right.
You got to carry down the middle. It was a good play design,
yeah.
Good right guys in it, and just poor execution. Period.
Gotcha.
So it's a combination of things, right? Because even on the other side, they had Pickens occupying the other where it would have been a safety on that play, but a corner, but you know what I mean?
Right.
Safety position. So, but they need help.
Like, yeah, I was going to say, your thoughts on the secondary in general,
yeah.
And how many of those guys you think will be starters this year or next year that were starters this year? Not many.
Well, Trey Amos, I think that's the one guy you can count on.
Yep.
And then I think you're going to need, like, I remember talking to somebody early in the year from another team, like, they need safeties. And I think you're going to go into the offseason like thinking like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would get a little bit more help there. You know, we all know, like, Caleb Downs is going to be in the draft. Is that a
yep.
guy that they take or not? I mean, that's certainly a guy that you put on the list of potential players, depending on what you do in free agency. They need guys on defense all over.
Yeah, I know.
You need some impact guys on that side of the ball, and so are you going to get him in the front seven? You know, you look at Minnesota. Minnesota wreaks havoc with their front. It's not about the secondary. It's about the front. And that's, you know, like, you look at their corners or safeties, like, there's nothing remarkable. Harrison Smith has been a really good player, but not at this point. But it's what they do in the front seven, what they do with under Flores is terrific. And that helps them look better. So you can do things to help there, but you still need guys to make plays. And I think that's what you definitely need some more. I mean, they only have, like, for the corners, it's Amos and then Samuelsville. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I think I can – Samuelsville is going to go in there with obviously a chance to start, but you still need to get more there. You absolutely need to get more there.
Johnny Newton was a demon yesterday. 9 tackles, 3 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, 5 quarterback hits. Like, are we going to see more of this heading into 2026? Like, he's got to have an expanded role, I would think, especially if Daron Payne isn't on the roster next year. Did you see this sort of performance coming for Johnny Newton yesterday?
Well, I know some people there did, because that's what I would hear. It's just that, you know, someone told me a couple weeks ago, like, hey, his time is coming. And, you know, because he would flash, right? He'll flash every so often,
right.
Just see it, and then you don't. But they had maintained just how much more consistent he'd been getting with his leverage, et cetera, et cetera. He's not, and, you know, Dan Quinn talked about it a couple weeks ago too, about, like, he's better when he's shaded off the lineman. Right. So, and you see that a lot more. But I mean, there's still a ways to go. And still, I think, like, how is he best used? And even, like, yesterday, going back and why I watched all of his tackles already, and there are times where it's like, okay, you know, lineman gets you, but he gets off the guy and it's 5-yard gain. But then what really to me jumps out is that I would almost call it like secondary quickness. So off the ball, he may not beat you, but when it starts going lateral, he's going to outquick you, right? And I think that's how he got, He made a couple stops that way, got a couple sacks that way, where it's like that second, that effort and staying after, but then that next step quickness is where he gets you. So I think that's where you can see, can he be more of an impact guy that way? And then I'd like to see, like, what does it look like for him if they can get, like, a young, a good edge rusher, right? And then just how does that work with him if you have that, those two guys that have some higher level of quickness, how that could look with stunts in some games, et cetera. So, you know, I don't know that he's going to be like a – he's not going to be this major run stopper. It's just he's going to be a guy that I think can get after the passer a little bit as he progresses. So, you know, that. But that's what you see. Like, your multiple of the sacks came with the second effort and then that next step quickness where it's like not stone, but you're not beating the guy right off the ball and boom, there it goes, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like that, but it's like, you know, blocked a little bit, but getting off because you read it, and then you just have the quickness laterally to get by him.
Yeah. We were talking about...
He has to improve against the run overall still, and that'll be something for him going forward, but you can see the ability to contribute more.
Right. We were talking about the primetime games and the standalone games that Washington had this year, and they had a ton of them.
Gross.
You know, they lost both their thirds.
Last year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. So they went 0-8 in those games this year, if you include the Madrid game, the Thursday night games, the Monday night games, yada, yada, yada. But obviously, the networks, they don't know about injuries. And
Right, of course.
So, but what do you think is going to happen next year when the networks look at this team and go, you know what? Man, we got screwed with these Commander games in the prime time.
Yeah, well, it depends. First of all, it depends what happens in free agency. What do they do there? Because that's always going to be, like, are they going to become this hot team and say, all right, well, if Jaden Daniels is healthy and they've got this guy and that guy, they could be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to get 8 games next year. I think we're going to have a few more 1 o'clock games, but you still got to put them in some prime time games just because, like, what if Jaden Daniels comes back and is healthy and they're really looking good again? You know, do you want to miss that train, right? And so I think you'll certainly get some primetime games, especially early, just in case,
right?
So I think you could see that for, I mean, you still have to, because of Jaden Daniels, and this, again, you can't assume injuries. So with him, if he's good, if he's back and healthy and they get one or two more pieces, like, why not? Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to get 8. You just, that was based on them thinking, obviously they're very good and you have this exciting offense. But I would still think you're going to get a few just because of that. What if? And then it is like, you know, people, you know, a year ago, the kid was the next big star. And it's injuries that set him back.
You know?
So, you know, I think so. Yeah, I would expect some, but not like this. This was quite a bit. And if it was a series, it would have been canceled.
Yeah. If I know you don't know this because it's the day after the game, we've got a whole nother week, but against Philadelphia to finish out the regular season, do you expect Marcus to start, or do you think it's going to be JJ again?
That I don't know. And it sounds like the quad was a bigger issue than the hand, which he had, like he said, he had six stitches in his hand.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't even know that they know. But yeah.
We'll, I mean, and Philadelphia's not going to play any of their players.
No. So yeah. No,
that's gonna be so ugly.
All right, John.
Preseason match.
Yeah, exactly.
We appreciate the time as always. Have fun grinding that film, rewatching the game, as I know you're gonna do. So we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas to you too, man. That's John Keim from ESPN and ESPN.com. When we come back, we will take your calls at 800-636-1067.
Are you out there?
Who helped themselves for next season with yesterday's performance? Bill, Johnny Newton with 3 sacks. Dare I say, Ben Sinnott with a career-high 3 receptions in a game? Break up the band. Ben Sinnott had a remarkable game at tight end. Who helped themselves on the Commander squad for 2026? We'll take your calls on that next at 800-636-1067.
All right, Zabe, something happened yesterday. The Commanders coming off the 2024 season with a...
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Star young quarterback and an NFC title appearance. They were a hot ticket. The league wanted as much Jaden in national windows as they could get.
Buy.
And boy, we got national windows.
8 of them.
Let's run through them, shall we?
8 standalone games.
Week 2, Thursday night football. It was my birthday in Green Bay. Trounced 27-18.
Bully ball. Tough game.
Let's go to Monday night football. Chicago Bears at home. They had that game.
The rematch of last year's miracle. And this time it went the other way.
Much like last year, the Bears fell apart after the Hail Mary. This year, Washington fell apart after that fumble.
Yeah.
They were 3-2 going into that game, and with about 2 minutes left, looked like they were about to be 4-2. Things looked different.
Yep.
Right up until they weren't. That's an L to the Bears. 2 weeks later, Monday Night Football in Kansas City. Mariota is your quarterback for that game, I believe.
Yep.
That's a loss, 28-7. It was a good first half, and then it wasn't. The following week, Sunday night football, Seattle Seahawks, never in doubt.
That was what felt like low tide.
People were leaving in the first half. Yeah, I posted a video of it.
That was
people
really
leaving in the first half.
Really
the, bad. The final there, there was a string of name your score games, and that was the third of four of them. That Seattle could have named their score.
Yeah, that felt like low tide, and then Detroit came in.
Put and up
Dan
44.
Campbell said, I'm taking the play sheet. And everyone thought, oh, he's so much better at calling plays. Well, no, he just played the Commanders.
Then they go to Spain. 9:30 Eastern kick, only game on in that window. And they lost to the Dolphins in overtime. Dolphins, also terrible. That fell their record to 3-8 on the season. You come back for another national window that everybody was begging to be flexed out, only it wasn't. And yes. Washington showed up. Took the Broncos to OT to lose by a point. Honestly, that might have been their best performance of the year, either that
probably, that was or the probably Chargers. Their best effort. Yep.
They looked good against the Chargers.
Yeah, the Charger game was like, wow, okay, hold on, everybody. We might be all right.
Now, more national windows. Philadelphia Eagles come to Landover. Eagles were riding a losing streak. Offensively, we weren't sure what they had. Oh, I guess the Eagles have just beaten the Raiders. Pardon me. Eagles win 29-18. They were in that game until Mariota goes down.
Eagles threw a C-minus effort out there. They made a ton of mistakes, still won the game fairly easily.
That brings us to yesterday, Christmas Day in the nation's capital.
Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
21-3, early second quarter.
Yeah.
Washington fights back. Final score looks better than the game, perhaps. 30-23 loss to the Cowboys. That's 0-8 in national windows. Not all primetime, because some of these are different. But when they were the only pro football game on in the country, they lost them all.
I've heard people say they can't wait for 1 o'clock Sundays again.
I am one of them.
You are, but you're obviously in the sausage factory.
Yes.
Working a shift during games. And I know everyone who covers this league loves the 1 o'clockers on Sunday. I think the league has stretched their taffy, JP, so far now. In fact, this week, I always do this in my You Are Looking Live segment every week. I list the games by, are they standalones? I go, it is your 1-1-1-1-1-7-1-1-1-1 lineup of games. That's the furthest it's ever been stretched, meaning that's literally, there's only one window, the 1 o'clock window Sunday, in which there's overlapping games. Everything else is at least staggered a bit. There's a 4:05, there's a 4:25. So I hate the late night games. I think FedEx is uniquely poorly suited to being a late night venue as a place to go out to. Not that nobody lives on that side of the market, but there's kind of more people that have tickets that live elsewhere. That makes it just tough.
You're saying getting there with rush hour traffic on the Beltway?
Getting there and also getting home. The trek home to the Northern Virginia burbs becomes a, I mean, you look at the map and you're like, that's on another planet over there.
However, I hear you on that. I bet as the crow flies, it's 4 miles to RFK. Like, it's not that far for the RFK.
And no, it's
nobody's going to have that complaint about going back to RFK.
But are the people who are going to the games, the ticket holders, in the district itself, or are they in the surrounding counties? That only the team would know by basis of their databases.
Oh, I'm sure the
ticket people.
My guess of season ticket holders would be Fairfax, Loudoun, then Montgomery.
Okay.
As far as counties?
And are you saying that Howard County has been gone to the Purple Tide for a while now?
No, I think Howard, Anne Arundel still. But, like, just the lion's share. Where is the greatest percentage of season ticket holders? I bet it's Fairfax, Loudoun, and Montgomery.
Yeah.
And dude, like, Prince George's, Charles, and then I guess that'd be Prince William further south. Like, there's people coming from everywhere.
I think it's just great the new place is going to be back where it belongs.
Right.
Because that was my thing all along. I'm like, it has to be where RFK is. It ties our sprawling region together.
Agreed. And my point there, I guess, is for the Chantilly resident, they will complain about the drive to Landover in a way they will never complain about the drive to RFK, even though the physical distance is not that significant.
True.
The
with the new
metaphorical
place,
distance is the Grand Canyon.
With the new place, you'll be driving to a palace. That is spectacular and has new stadium smell for at least 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Now you're driving to the other end of the earth for a dump.
The one thing that they have done really well at Northwest Stadium, the investments into the light shows and the LED boards and everything, they can actually make that thing look pretty cool for
That's
night
good.
Games.
Yeah.
But they're getting trounced in them. So Sunday, 1 o'clock, man.
Right.
Go 12-5, Sunday, 1 o'clock. Nobody's complaining.
Yeah, I think there's also, when it comes to these national games, not just the inconvenience of, okay, you know, we got school the next day, or do we have to get home in time? Or if you're in the media, how late am I going to be out
working? Or Metro Riders, too.
Or Metro Riders as well. The other element, JP, is no fan base wants to get spanked in front of a national audience.
And they did.
And so, they did. 0-8. And minus 77 was the number on those games. So I would say don't expect there to be any fewer than 3 or 4 national games. There'll be at least...
Some of it's just NFC East football. Always sells.
It's a function of market size.
Everybody gets a Thursday night or two.
Right.
So I think you're right. Probably 4 or 5, I would guess.
By rights of what teams are good and worth watching, the Giants should not have been on national TV for the last 6 years. And yet every year, you get at least 3 or 4 orders of them.
The Jets.
I know. Because of market size.
Right.
And by the way, there's only so, they've got so many now individual windows that there's only so many teams that you can show over and over. In fact, there's a limit, right? Isn't it on the high end?
6 or 7. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's 8. I'm surprised there's not a game today. I'm surprised they didn't look at the calendar, see the void in this Friday where everybody's home, and call it NFL Boxing Day and just have a game today.
Well, they took Black Friday and they took Christmas this year when it didn't fit logically on
Thursday
is better than Wednesday.
When they did it last year on a Wednesday, was unbelievable.
And they're going to keep doing it going forward. They're like, we'll figure out a way to at least have some.
I'm not mad at it. I wish if there was a 5 o'clock kick today, I'm home tonight with my family.
Right. What else
we're going to make a fire. I would love to have a game to put on.
Do you make real fires?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, yeah.
See, we have a real chimney, JP. And I know this is not marriage counseling, but my wife is just like, oh, it's so messy and we got to clean the chimney out.
You do gas?
It's going to be a fire. No, wood. I got wood, baby.
Oh, I got wood.
I would love to.
All wood.
Yeah. I would love to throw some real logs in there and get her going, but it's a tough sell. And it's a sell that I don't have the votes in Congress for. And so I'm not even proposing
not
the legislation.
Not worth swimming up that stream.
It really isn't.
We have tremendous news. Also, Joey Savitt, if you're listening, this matters to you too. Doc Walker joining us in person in the studio. Now,
under 5 minutes to go. Handoff. Kroski Merritt.
There you go.
And he stays on his feet for the touchdown. 10 yards for the Commanders. And Kroski Merritt gets there. Yeah, first.
Have a day, Bill. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. Linnell's in for Danny. You're listening to The Fan. It's a Football Friday on G&D, presented by Chiniga Mios, a 2025 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Linnell, I want to get into some of the kids faring well. This is the dream for Bill, though. This is why we all fell in love with him in training camp into the preseason. We've always said he can hit the home run. I didn't think he had that kind of finishing speed, end of play speed, where he was going to run away from the entire Cowboys defense. But you know he's got the wiggle and he's twitchy and he's got a club in the bag Chris Rodriguez doesn't have. How about a 72-yard house call? I don't even remember. It's got to be Adrian Peterson from 90. Like, that does not happen for these teams. It's got to be the broken plays where a guy gets through the line of scrimmage and, like, runs into the wall. Everyone stops playing. They come out the other side. This was an outside zone. He hit the hole perfectly. He ran away from the secondary. There's only one guy on this roster, and frankly, there's only one guy on this roster over many years that has been able to do that. That was awesome.
Yeah, and credit to Treylon Burks, credit to Connolly, Sinnott, all throwing key blocks on that. But to your point, in a season from hell, Bill Kroski Merritt has been quite the development. I know it hasn't been linear in terms of his development. He's had ups and downs with the fumbles and, you know, the inconsistencies in pass pro, which I thought he was actually pretty good in pass pro yesterday as well, too. He is just – there's something there with that. I don't know, Grant, if he's the long-term RB1. I don't know if he's the RB1 next year. But there's something there with that, and I want to see more. I want to see more. I'm very intrigued. And it just seems like – and I listen to him every week with you guys. He just seems like a good kid. Like, he's a good dude. He's battled through some adversity. And for him to do that on Christmas, and I know his whole fam was watching, like, that's what football is about.
This is how you know I'm getting old. Because forever I was interviewing players that were older than me, and then I was interviewing my peers, and now I'm interviewing, in Bill's case, a guy that's like 15 years younger than me, which is bad. But, like, he is a sweet boy.
Yeah, he's just a good dude, man. Like, he's a good dude.
Dude, he comes on with us, Linnell, and he gets off the phone, and, like, Darius and I will just be like, what a nice guy.
Yep.
You know?
Like, love that about him. Love hearing stories about cousins.
Not root for him?
Love him. Love hearing it all. And the other thing that gets me with him is, and maybe casual fans, when you're watching, you don't pick this up, there's a joy that he plays with too, man. Like, he's always cheesing. Like, he got the ball knocked out of his hands yesterday. I think it was by Trayvon Diggs. And then Netflix cuts to him, and he's got the widest grin at Trayvon, like, don't do that to me, kid. But, like, he's got a happy-to-be-here mentality, and I love that.
So he said to us, we were talking about the Christmas Day game, and he talked about the fact that he was super excited to play on Christmas Day because family all over the country is going to get to watch him. Like, I know they played 8 standalone games this year, and he played in most of them. But for him, this was a huge deal. He's like, you grow up watching these games on the holidays, and now you get to take part in one. And I do think it means a little more for these guys. But you said something I think that's correct and we probably should double down on. The expectations got out of whack, I think, out of camp when he became named the starter. Especially the way the early part of the season went, when they're 3-2, that Chargers game, he goes off for 100 yards and a couple touchdowns, and I think we all thought this was about to be a rocket ship.
Yeah.
Like, buckle up, let's get our seatbelts on, we're taking off to the moon. It has not been that way.
No.
But if I was to have told you the moment after they drafted him in the seventh round out of Arizona, where he basically played 1 year of Division I football, or if I was to tell you, even in camp, during all of the buzz that this guy is going to maybe have a chance to start, that he would have 162 carries to lead the way, that he would average about 5 yards per carry. He's at 4.9 right now.
That's a hell of a number.
He has 8 rushing touchdowns. That is the most by any rookie running back, I believe, in the league. Like, this is a gigantic win in the seventh round. We spend a lot of time talking about Ells with Adam Peters and the draft department and the team over the last couple of years. This is not just a win. This is the Vikings taking Washington to the woodshed 31-0. Like, they drafted this guy at basically when the draft was ending, and he's going to go for 800 yards and 9 touchdowns maybe as a rookie.
I love it.
Did we want a little more? Maybe. But this is a huge season, and you said it right. In a bad year, this has been one of the brightest spots for sure.
Yeah, and the thing that's awesome about it is he's the only running back under contract for next year. McNichols is a UFA. Rodriguez is a restricted free agent. I'm sure they'll tender him or something. But, I mean, I definitely think when it comes to this laundry list of offseason needs that you have, I've seen enough with Bill to where I wouldn't want to spend draft capital on another running back. I'm now in the market of, like, and this is something they specialized in, GP. Think about this. You're Olamide Zaccheaus type of signing. 28, hadn't really gotten an opportunity to come here and go off. Right. Jake Martin, 28, hadn't really gotten an opportunity to come here and go off. They've kind of specialized in that. I want to see that at running back coming up this offseason.
I do, too. We're going to actually get into their RB plan a little bit later in the show. I think at 4:25, I want to talk with you about where that ranks on the list of needs and wants. The problem I have with addressing running back, because it would be awesome to go out and to get a star like the Ravens did. Look at Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry last year when things were going well and they were cooking. Look at what Saquon did a season ago for Jalen Hurts. Like, when you have this dual threat dealing with the mesh point and pistol and read option and shotgun stuff, it can be a huge asset if you really invest big at running back. And before you have to pay Jaden Daniels, might be a time to do that. It's just going to end up being filed under the want column for me, not need, because of how many other things they desperately have to upgrade. Like, it's nice to have that running back, but you need to get better on your defensive line. You need an edge rusher. You need speed at linebacker. You need help in the secondary. You need a tight end who can get down the field in the seam. You need a receiver opposite McLaurin if you don't bring Debo back, and we could talk about that. So, yeah, the running back thing, I think, is a longer conversation, but I wanted to just give Bill some flowers.
He deserves it for sure.
He is kept going, you know, kept grinding, and that speed is scintillating. I'm not an anti-Chris Rodriguez guy. In fact, I'm a Mark.
Right.
I really like him too. But, like, he is a very limited, low-ceiling player. He is a thumper who's going to get you 4.5 a carry. I think he's a better version of Brian Robinson to me.
I agree. And, better vision too. Yep.
Yeah, like a similar player though, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what the Niners did is smart. Let's bring in Brian Robinson because we got Christian McCaffrey as our guy.
Right.
But you're going to feel B-Rob. So when he gets the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth carry, like in those games where he gets 9 or 10 and we ran the ball 36 times or whatever, every one of those we're better for. And I think Chris Rodriguez is that guy. But I would love to get to a point, if it's those two, where Bill is what you major in and Rodriguez is what you minor in.
Yeah.
I was frustrated last week. Bill has the huge game 2 weeks ago.
Right.
He broke back out. Who was that against before the Eagles game?
The Giants.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So, and that was a matchup thing largely, right? But Bill played his butt off.
He did what he
was
supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly. But he went out, he performed. So Rodriguez comes back, and I felt terrible for him being inactive because that was the terrible, worst run defense in the league.
Yeah.
Good matchup. But he misses that. So what do? They go right back to literally a 2-1 carry share for Rodriguez over Bill. And that was in a much tougher matchup against Philly, but then he's sick and can't play against the Cowboys where you were going to move the ball and run the ball on them.
Right.
So he's had some bad fortune here, but give me, if it's 27 carries between the two of them against the Eagles, give Bill 18 and give Rodriguez 9. Like, that's where I'd like to get to.
Yeah. I think when it all has to do with, like you said, the home run capability, that explosiveness, think about why we wanted a running back this offseason. Not because we just hated Brian Robinson. We wanted somebody that could get you, you know, somewhere in a hurry, right? Someone that can bust plays open so you're not relying and dependent upon these 15, 16 play drives. You want somebody that can score quick for you. Bill is that. I do believe that. It's just, I don't know, Grant, and like, tell me how you feel when you watch him. He looks like a back that has not had an entire offseason in the NFL's strength and conditioning program. Like, he can stand to get stronger. He can run with a little bit better pad level. The pass pro can get better. The fumbling, obviously, has got to improve. But I'll be willing to live with all of those deficiencies if you can go get me 72-yard touchdown runs. You know what I'm saying?
So here's my favorite critique of Bill that I've heard. Mm-hmm. I think it was Logan on Take Command, but I honestly don't remember. So if I'm using somebody else's line and I didn't give him credit, I apologize. But he said, whoever it was, we were talking about Bill, and they said, one of the real strengths in the NFL at that position is taking singles. And I talk about the home run being what he did, the 72-yarder. Mm-hmm. So in that parlance, right, like a double, you make a guy miss with a jump cut and you get 9, right? Or a triple is like the 22. Mm-hmm. You know, a single is get the 3 that's blocked and fall forward for 4 and it's 2nd and 6. And the point with Bill is that at times he has not wanted to take the single. He has wanted to make the move to get the extra 5 or whatever, and it turns into like -1, or, you know, sometimes it's instead of 3 or 4, you're getting 1. And the point is just take what's there, and it's death by paper cut. Like, you're gonna get your 2, your 3, your 3, your 4, your 2, your 3, 29.
Right.
And now it's 8 carries for 50 yards, and you got the average you want. But I don't think this is just a Bill point, although I think you could probably say he's done this some. I think a lot of young running backs are this way, especially, by the way, it's harder when now they're only giving you 7 or 8 carries.
Right, you're pressing.
Yeah, so you're like, okay, this is the 3rd drive. I haven't seen the ball. I got to show them. They're doing this hot hand thing, and Rodriguez has already got 2 drives. So I got to show them. First carry, someone's in the backfield. Instead of just running into them and getting back to the line, I try to bounce left, and now I lose 1 or 2. And so I think there was some of that with him. But all of that, the physical part you're talking about, this mental, like what you accept and what you take, knowing when to kind of make the move or not to, I think that's just going to come with time. But he was excellent, and that 72-yard run was, it's funny, Clinton Portis was on the telecast with Netflix. I had shades of the 64-yarder against the Bucks, you know, where I'm just like, did you think he was, when he got in the clear at the second level, did you think he was going to get all the way to the end zone on that?
So, yes, because I saw him change gears. Like, when he got to the sideline, I was like, oh, he's got that in his bag. What did he end up GPS tracking at, Grant? It was something like 23 miles an hour?
It was one of the faster carries by a back this year. But I didn't think – see, he ran a 4.5 40. I'm not sitting here acting like that's slow. But, like, he's not a burner. The metrics that are really good for him are the first step stuff.
Yeah.
He's like the point guard that'll take you off the dribble like Gilbert used to do at 6'4". You know, he would blow past you. I don't think Gilbert was winning foot races against some of these dudes. But like, he would take you off the bounce. He's got you on his back like plastered. Now he's drawing contact, right? Bill is sudden.
Yeah.
But that long speed?
I didn't know he had it.
That was, and you're right. The gear he hit, I'm like, oh, he's about to get 50. And then he like, no, he's gonna go.
And it looked kind of like a gallop when he was doing it. Like his, you saw his torso stretch, and he kind of
he
was
had like
going.
A gait. Yeah, it was funny. I was happy for him though. Yeah.
Ben Standings with us. He was there yesterday. How was it? Did he hear me? Sorry, I was coughing. Ben Standings with us. Start over. At Ben Standing on X and on Twitter. He writes really well and prolifically, and that includes quite often on Substack. He's got a podcast called Last Man Standing. So, what did you make of the big Christmas Day showdown between arch rivals Dallas and Washington?
Well, I mean, I think we all went in anticipating nothing but coal in our stockings, considering the scenario of both of these teams way out of it and Washington on its third string quarterback. But, you know, I would say that all things considered, if you ignore the bigger picture, it was a pretty entertaining game, right? I mean, that obviously it came down to the end. It wasn't a blowout for Washington. Bill with the 72-yard run, that was exciting. Obviously the 86-yard touchdown catch for Dallas, and less exciting for the home crowd, but a big play nonetheless. So, you know, it was all things, it could have been much, much worse, I'll say. So, yeah, I mean, obviously they ended up losing again, you know, at this point, not a huge surprise. The defense, which has, you know, been ravaged by injuries, but also has not been particularly good this year, was on the field in a staggering amount of time. It was nearly 2-1 in time of possession, and Dallas officially ran 87 offensive plays to Washington's 41. That sort of symbolizes or epitomizes what this year has kind of looked like for the defense. But, you know, again, I think the bigger takeaway is that what we've been talking about now for a while, are we going to see some of these younger guys step up? We've seen Bill have some bigger moments, but nonetheless, another game for him without Chris Rodriguez in there. He gets over 100 yards, second highest snap total for him or snap percentage this year. And so that was good to see, including the breakaway run, you know, just to show that he can, you know, outrun the defensive backs, the longest run of the year. And then on the defensive side, you know, Johnny Newton, we've talked about, you know, when's Johnny Newton going to pop? When are we going to see more? Why isn't he playing more? Well, without Deron Payne, he played a lot more, and, you know, quite the game for him on the national TV stage or national cable or what, a streamer, I guess I should say, stage. Three sacks, nine tackles, you know, quite the performance. I mean, he's got 5.5 sacks now. Obviously, one game is going to warp that number, but that's, you know, tied for second on the team. I don't think I can say that Johnny Newton, if they move on from Deron Payne, is ready to step in, but you feel a lot better about what this kid can do. You know, things that they've been talking about, his disruptiveness in the inside there, his pass rushing ability. You got to feel a lot better about the chances now of him succeeding next year. And that's kind of what these last few games should be all about. What going forward matters. And those two guys definitely stood out.
So I just figured something out as you were talking. I was doing two things, listening to you and looking something up, because I was curious as to whether or not the 6 fourth down conversions were an absolute record. They are. The 6 conversions in a game by the Cowboys yesterday on fourth down is an NFL record. It ties the Chargers, who in the final regular season game of 21, it was January of 22, converted 6 against the Raiders, but they were 6 of 7. So yesterday was a first ever in the NFL. 6 fourth down conversions on 6 fourth down attempts. I talked to Ben earlier just about how this is one of those games where you look at certain things after the game and you're like, that can't actually be right. Like you mentioned the 87. It was actually 92 snaps if you factor in penalties or no plays. 92 snaps to 44. A 48 snap difference. I don't think I've ever heard of that. I've heard of that in college. I've seen that in college. Never at the pro level. That's something I wonder if anybody's got a number on, the biggest disparity of total snaps in a game. I mean, they ran basically a game's worth of offensive snaps more than Washington did, had 20 third down attempts in a game. That's a lot. But the 6 for 6 is an NFL record, ties the most conversions on a fourth down in a game, but it's the only time anybody's ever gone 6 for 6 on fourth down in a game. You know, you mentioned Johnny Newton, and that was great. And, you know, this is why I think you don't bail on drafts, you know, after a year or 2 years. You gotta wait it out. Now, I thought a couple of those sacks were, you know, Dak maybe holding it because maybe coverage was good. I haven't watched the All-22, but he played well. And it's good to see. And then Kroski Merritt, like you mentioned, he did something he hasn't done, which is get to that second and third level and then turn it into a house call. It's something we've kind of been waiting to see all year long. That was good. But Biadasz got hurt in the game, you know, a key cornerstone for next year. Is there any concern about his injury being significant? I haven't heard anything about it since the game yesterday.
Yeah, Dan Quinn was asked about it. He kind of said they're hoping it's only sprains that he's dealing with. And Biadasz was, you know, in the locker room. He had a walking boot that kind of went up, like up to his knee, basically, on the right leg. Both of his knees were bandaged on both on both legs, but I think it was the right one that we're dealing with here today. So it was an ankle and the knee that was being evaluated. So I think it's fair to say there is some concern. What that means. Obviously, I can't. We'll assume he's out for the last game. The question here is just simply: is it just sort of your garden variety NFL injury, which for you and me would be debilitating, but for these guys is somewhat normal. Versus he's got to have surgery and it's a bigger deal, and now we put into question his ability to be out there for training camp or what have you. So I think it's at least somewhat of a question, but I don't want to sound the alarms because we just don't know. And Dan Quinn didn't seem to know in real time either. And Biotis himself was kind of seemed to be, guys were, hey man, hang in there, but was unclear as to how bad it really was. So hopefully it's not too bad because, that is the other thing, right? You want to see the young kids step up. You also don't want to see anybody who's going to be back get hurt and affect their 2026 season. There's no good time for an injury, but this is the worst time because it now bleeds into the next year.
I mean, do you think we're going to learn here over the last few weeks? And you haven't answered one way or the other definitively over the last couple of weeks, but do you think we'll know by the end of the Philadelphia game and the season finale if Dan Quinn's going to head this defense as the head coach next year or if they're going to look elsewhere?
We're not going to know anything by the time the season ends. I mean, the season will end, at Philly. We'll come back to Ashburn. We'll talk to the players. They'll leave. Then sometime that week, we'll talk to Adam Peters and Dan Quinn. I doubt we will hear anything definitively about almost anything at that point.
I understand that. What about clues? Are there any clues that would suggest the lean one way or the other?
I'd be surprised if Dan Quinn calls the plays himself. I think the question is more of, does he stay within his system or does he leave his system, go to look to do something different by bringing in another voice with a different vision? I think to me that's the interesting question. And no, we don't have any real clues. I mean, we've got a couple more times here to talk to him before, the season is officially over. So perhaps it comes up in conversation, but anything so far that's been about anything beyond this season, he's been hesitant to really get into and said, I'll deal with that later. So to me, that I think is just simply the bigger question is what happened here. There was that initial bump up in play after Dan Quinn took over, but as you just read off the numbers for the defense here. Again, we know they're missing a lot of guys and even more this week without Deron Payne, but still, that's an extraordinary amount. There's other teams in the league who also have a lot of guys out and we don't see these things. And the course of the entire season has been rough. So, you wonder if Dan Quinn would look to make that change. That said, let's just say he was going to be a defensive coordinator for some other team. Is he really changing his system or is he just bringing in what he does? Because obviously he's had success. So, I don't think he would. So that's the big question, and that's where maybe he's got to sit down with Adam Peters and others and have a discussion about that.
Yeah, it's the most vital thing that they figure out how to fix, and it just I don't know anything about anything. None of us really do because we're not inside those doors and we don't know the challenges they have, but this is going to be two straight seasons of gruesome defense, and he's a defensive head coach, and you've got to. I mean, he made the move with Joe Witt Jr., but it's not like they've improved dramatically. They've played differently, but they haven't improved dramatically. They have massive need for talent infusion, and I'm going to be so curious to see how they handle it and what they're able to admit, because you and I have talked about this a couple of times. And to me, it's like, you'll look at yesterday's tape, I bet, and they'll say, man, Preston Smith really got after the quarterback. Johnny Newton played well. Bobby Wagner played well. There were some moments for Reeves. And you let the other team snap the ball 92 times in a game. I mean, these are ungodly awful numbers. You let the other team convert four. And it wasn't just like every fourth down was short, which it was, but you had a third and 11, 86-yard bomb over your head. You had a third and 16 where they checked it down to the fullback, and he basically carried people to within a fourth down conversion attempt. It's just so terrible that it's like if you even bring back anything that remotely smells like the last 2 years, you better be right, like in a major way. Or this time next year, injuries won't be an excuse, even if they are an excuse.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, there's also the, as has been discussed, the idea that Dan Quinn's defense has really struggled going up against anything, any offense from the Shanahan system. And that feels like it's, I don't know, the task league, but it sure feels like it's a large number of teams. So, yeah, no, I do think there's a lot to discuss. Again, you know, from the point that he took over as the coordinator, they basically were without, of course, their starting defensive ends, their both starting corners. So they weren't good before that, but obviously it got exponentially worse over time. But yeah, no, I totally agree with you that they've got to have, this has got to be a real decision for them for sure. I mean, I also, you know, depending on what happens with Cliff Kingsbury, you know, it's possible if he moves on that they could have, you know, different systems on both sides. And one thing that does, whatever, you know, if you do change systems, is it also typically means you're going to want different types of players to come in. Now, they already, you're going to have to replace a huge chunk of this season's roster because they're going into free agency and all that. So they'll have an opportunity. They're not necessarily saddled with too many guys who may be bad fits, but they're obviously going to still have, you know, Kinlaw's here, Frankie Louvu is here, Armstrong when he comes back is here, et cetera. So, you know, they'll have to figure out what makes sense to unleash these guys and players that they can bring in that's going to fit whatever it is that they're going to do. And then, of course, even within that set, if you bring in somebody else from the outside who's not a Dan Quinn person, then are they going to want to bring in some of their own assistants, right, to help them, you know, preach what's got to be done. So, yeah, there could be significant changes across the defense, or there could be just one guy that comes in, he's the new defensive coordinator, somebody Dan Quinn knows, and they move forward.
Talking to Ben Standig at Ben Standig on X on Twitter. You know, I think yesterday was a good day for Cliff Kingsbury because he basically coached Josh Johnson, his first start since 2021, into a Marcus Mariota-esque performance. Mariota, not with the running. Obviously, he doesn't have the wheels that Mariota has, but they move the football. You know, they moved the football. They scored on four of their eight opportunities. Had a lot of penalties that hurt them during the course of the game. But this is going to be another big storyline. Does Kingsbury get an opportunity where they're not as desperate to keep him from taking it? And as you've pointed out, you know, I'm pretty sure you and I have talked about this, but the Arizona money runs out, right? That contract is up after this year. So, you know, how it was kind of, he was making head coaching money the 2 years in Washington as an OC because Arizona was paying him.
Right. No, that's true. I asked Kingsbury on Tuesday when we got him for a few minutes. Hey, you know, I'm gonna jump ahead here. So, question we're gonna ask you at some point: where are you at with regards to possibly looking into head coaching? And he, of course, you know, said, well, you know, we'll see where that goes. I'm right now focused on the present and so on and so on. You know, we'll see what the NFL opportunities look like. You know, these jobs often go to somebody that's the hot candidate. I don't know that can be him this year with the way things have gone, but they also can go to guys who've had the job before and have, you know, generally good reputations around the league. And that's where he could fly back in perhaps. So, it was definitely a more dialed down offense. I did like some of the play calls, you know, the way they got Debo the ball in space a couple of times. He took big advantage of that. You know, it's exactly what they were looking for when they brought him in. And then unfortunately in week two, you know, Noah Brown goes out, week three, Terry goes out, and all of a sudden Debo's role changes dramatically. So it was a sign there of what it could have been. Unfortunately, it's gone the way it's gone. But, you know, it was more of a dial-back offense. Dan Quinn talked about that they played under center more than they have, which logically you should do. It's not, it's different personnel. Josh Johnson, as you said, is not Marietta or Daniel. So, I think that's going to be a huge question for this season as well. You know, what makes sense for this group going forward? You know, they are the only team in the league who essentially runs this hurry up, no huddle offense. And are the other teams all silly, or do they just know some more than the other teams do? Like, what's the deal here on that front? I do think that's an interesting question that, again, something to be discussed, not because necessarily of the four wins, but, you know, ultimately, is this the right offense to carry them? It obviously worked a year ago, but this year, less so.
All right. What else? What else have I not asked you? Or what else have we not talked about?
Well, obviously, you know, we'll have to see who's available for the game next or the game next week. Are they going to start to sit some more people? Obviously, this game, you know, Daron Payne was out with a back. I'll assume it was legit, but, you know, I'm glad they kind of, you know, didn't play a guy like that, especially with him, where, like, if it gets an injury and what does that mean for his contract, you know, going forward? So that's a good thing. Laramie Tunsil, I would assume, won't be back. Having missed the last two games, why would you bring him back for the third? What about Terry McLaurin? You know, he's missed so much of the year. I can imagine he wants to keep playing, but, you know, will they step in and decide, hey, we're gonna call here? And I guess, you know, Dan Quinn didn't flat out say that Josh Johnson would start in Week 18. I mean, wasn't asked about it after the game, but earlier in the week when he was asked, he didn't say it couldn't happen. So, you know, does Johnson go back out there? Again, I think we all thought, what's the reason of playing him now? But after a few played, I really don't know what the reason is of playing him now with Sam Hartman sitting there, but they don't seem to be inclined to go that route. So that's at least something else that we could possibly talk about next week.
Yeah, I can't imagine that Josh Johnson doesn't start the season finale.
It seems like they're going in that direction. I mean, last week the excuse essentially for skipping Hartman was, well, it was a short week and he doesn't get a lot of reps, so that wouldn't be unfair. Okay, well, that's obviously not going to be the case this time, but yes, I would imagine Johnson still stays. And you know, look, it's not a matter of what he is or isn't, and he looked fine. He did a good job. This is, you know, if that game had truly mattered and that's the performance he delivered, you'd be thrilled that your third string quarterback did that. But when you plan for the next season, they'll be 40 next year. That can't be the plan in any way, shape, or form. So what's the deal there? We'll have to see.
Well, the plan hopefully is for your starting quarterback to play 17 games next year.
That would be ideal.
That would be ideal. And then the third and fourth string, you know, December conversations don't need to take place. Thank you. Appreciate it. Hope you had a good holiday, and we'll talk before the new year.
Kevin, always a pleasure, man. Merry Christmas to everybody out there. Thanks for having me.
Ben Standig, everybody. When we come back, we'll go around the NFL, preview some of the games upcoming, and then I will finish the show with a weekend smell test, which is a dynamic situation right now. Things are changing. I had a bunch of games, and now I don't have as many. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.